Let us open our Bibles to Esther chapter 9. The last time I mentioned that as presented in the book of Esther, as presented in the book of Esther, there are two races, one of which God had blessed and promised to preserve, not because of any good in them, but out of the sovereign grace and mercy of the Lord that he has chosen his people. Another group of which God has said that he would utterly put out the remembrance of it under from under heaven. So Israel was to be blessed and made a blessing, but of the Amalekite, the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. These two peoples were therefore in deadly hostility, like the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, between whom the Lord himself has put an enmity. Our subject this afternoon is subjugation of God's enemy, or enemies if you like, safety for God's people. And we come to this chapter, the end, almost the end, with one more chapter to go. Almost the end of Esther, but this will be our last study for this very short study of the book of Esther. And we just want to briefly look at chapter 9. Chapter 9, how God, again, we do not see the name of God mentioned, but the whole narrative from chapter 1 right up to the end of the book of Esther, we see the unseen hand of God working out his sovereign plan for his people. It was God's intent that a last conflict should take place between Israel and Amalek. The conflict which began with Joshua in the desert was to be finished by this man, Mordecai, in the king's palace in Shushan. This last struggle began, as you know, and I trust that you have been reading or even finished reading this brief account, 9 chapters or 10 chapters rather, altogether. This brief account of how God's people were in a very disadvantaged position, and how the wickedness of Haman and all those with him who scheme and plot to destroy God's people. But in the end, of course, you know the victory and the deliverance that the Lord graciously granted to his people. This last struggle begins, as I said, with great disadvantage to God's people. Haman by now was prime minister of this far extending empire of Persia, and he was the favorite of King Xerxes. Haman, in all his pride, resolved in himself that he would not only destroy Mordecai, who refused to pay homage to him, to bow to him, but also with one blow sweep all the Jews from off the face of the earth. However, and this is a good however, only one thing stands in Haman's way: the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts is his name. And we shall see in our brief study here what happens, and pick up some lesson for our encouragement and for our use. Firstly, we see God places his agents in the right place and at the right time to do his bidding, to carry out his will. And of course, what I'm going to say is actually a little going back to what we have considered the last time. But very quickly, we need that background before we proceed on to the main lesson. First, as you know, we shall learn from this narrative that God places his agent in the right place and at the right time to do his bidding. The Lord was not taken by surprise by this plot of Haman. He had foreseen it and forestalled it. God, in his sovereign wisdom, appointed Esther as the means of defeating this malicious enemy. But Esther alone would be insufficient. She is shut up in the woman's quarter and being looked after by the chamberlain, and she is not allowed to move as she likes. So therefore, a watchman is needed outside the palace to guard and to direct the people of the Lord and to urge Esther to action when help is needed. And that man, as you know, is Mordecai, her foster father. And he obtained an office which placed him at the palace gate, at the right place, at the right time. By singular providences, God, the Lord, did place these two most efficient instruments in their places. Mordecai would be of little use without Esther, and Esther would not be of help had it not been for Mordecai. So brethren, let us pick up our first lesson from here, and that is, whatever harm or whatever adversity may be brewing against you or against the cause of God and truth and against you, this you can be assured of. The Lord knows all about it, and he has his Esther and his Mordecai ready at their position to frustrate and to destroy the enemy's plot. We need never be afraid as God's people, as blood-bought children of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need not be afraid, but what the Lord has forestalled and provided against his enemies. Every child of God is where God has placed him or her for some purpose. I repeat, every child of God, every Christian believer is where God has placed him or her for some purpose. If you are sitting at the king's gate, there is something for you to do there. And if you were on the queen's throne, there would be something for you to do there. Do not ask either to be a gatekeeper or queen, but whichever you are, serve God there. Serve God where God has placed you. If you are rich, God has made you a steward. Take care that you are a good steward, because you have to give an account. If you are poor, God has placed you in a position where you will be the better able to give a comforting word of sympathy to poor Christians. The question is, are you doing your allotted work, your allotted portion, your allotted responsibility? Are you in a ungodly family? Then you are to be a lamp hung up in a dark place. Mind you, shine there. Esther did well because she acted as an Esther should. And Mordecai did well because he acted as a Mordecai should. God has put each one of us, his children, in the right place and at the right time for a purpose. Our wisdom is not to desire another place or envy someone else, nor to judge those who are in another position. But each one being redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, we should consecrate ourselves. You should consecrate yourself, himself, herself, fully to the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? For here I am, and by thy grace, I am ready to do it. Brethren, forget not then the fact that God in his providence places his servant in positions where he can use them to fulfill his divine purpose. Secondly, our second lesson. The Lord not only arranges his servant, but God also, in his sovereign power, restrains his enemies. Haman, having gained permission from the king for the destruction of all the Jews upon a certain day, he was very anxious to have his cruel work done thoroughly. The lot was cast, he was superstitious, and he asked for a lot to be cast. Yes, the lot was cast, but as you know, the disposal of it was of the Lord's doing, the Lord's choice, the Lord's decision. The outcome of it is still the Lord. Well, I suppose you know the rest of the details that follow in this narrative. The lesson we can glean here is to trust in the sovereign God and in patience wait for his answer. And this is our problem that we have trouble overcoming. We must pray and seek the Lord's help, those of us who are Christian believers. Pray that the Holy Spirit will work in us and help us to sanctify this in us. Patient to wait for God's answer. Leave your adversaries in the hand of God, for he can make them fall into the snare which they have secretly laid for you. You can be assured of that. Therefore, the Lord arranged that the wisdom of Haman, as we see in our text, in our passage, and in this book, should turn out to be a folly after all. The enemies of the Church of Christ and of God and of his people can never do more than the Lord permits. Remember, the enemies of the Church of God and of his people can never do more than the Lord permits. They cannot go beyond the divine consent or permit or permission. And when they are, when our enemies, God permit them to do their worst to us, remember, there is always some weak point about all that they can do to us. Some extreme folly which renders their fiery effort in vain. Thirdly, we want to move on to consider and notice that God, who is infinitely wise, puts his people to the test. And this is something which often many Christians will not like to go through. Believers must not suppose that those who are God's servant, those who are God's people, those who are Christian, will be spared from trial and testing and affliction in this life. God's intent is to educate his children by affliction. This is God's will. And we must not therefore dream that an event is not providential because it is grievous or it hurts us. Rather, you may count it to be all the more so, for the Lord trieth the righteous. For the Lord trieth or tests the righteous. Observe that God tried Mordecai. He was an old man, an old and quiet man by now, and yet the Lord tested his faithfulness. He refused to bow to Haman. Esther also had to be tested. She must risk all, even her life, and go uninvited or uncalled for into the king's presence and plead for her people, her nation. Do not think, my dear friends, that the Lord has given you, for those of you who has been given a high position, do not think that the Lord has given you a high position so that you may escape the trials, which is the Lord or the portion for every believer. Yours is no position of ease. To whomsoever much is given, much is required. Yours, for those in high position or in power and authority, yours is no position of ease, but one of the hottest parts of the battle. Neither the lowest or the most quiet position, nor the most public and exposed condition will enable you to escape the much tribulation which the church militant must fight its way to glory. So you may ask, why should we Christians go through trials? Why should God put us to such testing? The answer is, should not the gold be tested in the crucible? The Bible teaches that the Lord tried or tests the righteous because he had made them of metal, which will endure the test. And he knows, God knows, that by the sustaining power of his Holy Spirit, God's people will be held up and made more than conquerors. Therefore, it is a part of the operation of providence to try or to test the Christian believers. Let that be a comfort to those of you who are in trouble or who are being tested at this time. Our next lesson is, God calls his children to be active. God calls his children to be active. Mordecai and all the Jews outside in Shushan, what did they do when they heard of this trouble that is coming? They fasted and they cried unto the Lord in prayer. Prayer is an essential part of the providence of God. So essential that you will always find that when God delivers his people have been praying for that deliverance. Mordecai was quite sure that God would deliver his people. And he expressed that confidence, which we considered the last time, in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. He was confident that God would deliver. In Esther chapter 4, verse 14. And he said to Esther, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there be enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then shall there enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, should Esther hold her peace and do nothing." God does not depend on us, as I said. God can do without us. But Mordecai indeed have this confidence in God. And therefore he did not sit still. He stirred up Esther to action. Esther braced herself to the effort. She also did not sit still and say, "The Lord will do all this, will work all this out, and there is nothing for me to do." But no, she both pleaded with God and ventured her life and all for the people of God, and then acted very wisely and discreetly in her presentation of her case before the king. So, my brethren, we rest confidently in providence. Yes, we must do that. But we are not to idle and think that after prayer, God will take care of the rest and I need to do nothing else. Faith in God's providence, instead of repressing our energies, should energize and excite us to diligence. We strive as if all depended upon us. And then, in humility, we fall back upon the Lord Jesus with the calm faith which knows that all depends upon God. And then we close. We close with this remark that in the end, God achieves the total defeat of his enemies and the safety of his people. And this is the fifth lessons that we can learn from this chapter. God achieves the total defeat of his foes and the safety of his people. Haman was taken into his own trap, the trap that he set up for Mordecai and the Jews, and his sons were hanged upon the gallows set up for Mordecai. God sovereignly turned the table around. Here was the door of escape. And we must understand this, how God works this out. Because the first decree by Xerxes granted to Haman was that, and that decree cannot be changed according to the Persian law. So how did God overcome this or grant deliverance to his people since the decree cannot be changed? And here is God's wisdom exhibited. Another decree was issued giving the Jews permission to defend themselves and to defend themselves and take the property of anyone who dare to attack them. So one decree effectually neutralized the previous decree issued by the king Xerxes. And after this second edict, nobody attempted to attack the Jews except the Amalekites, and consequently only the Amalekites were killed, and the race of Amalek was on that day swept from off the face of the earth. So God gave to the Jews a higher position in the empire in the end. And we are told that many of the non-Jew became Jews or were proselytes to the God of Abraham because they saw what God had done for his people. The living God whom the Jews worship has displayed his wisdom and rescued his people. All nations were compelled to feel that there was a God in Israel, and thus the divine purpose was fully accomplished. God's people were secure, and God's name was glorified to the world's end. There are many more lessons we can draw from this passage, and in fact, from the entire book of Esther. And I just want to bring out a few other more lessons beside what we have just covered. And one of these other lessons is this. The works of God can be brought about without miracles. The works of God can be brought about without miracles. Many people seek for miraculous signs and wonders to confirm God's work. There is no need for that, as we see in this book, or book of Esther. When God does a wonderful thing by suspending the law of nature, men are greatly astonished and say, this is the finger of God. For example, when God answered I think it's Joshua or Moses' prayer to hold back the time so that Joshua can continue to pursue the enemy. So when God suspend the laws of nature, men are greatly astonished and say, this is the finger of God. But nowadays, they say to the Christian, where is your God? He never suspends his laws now. But here, brethren and friends, we see what? In the scripture, we see God in the history of Pharaoh. But I must confess that I see God quite as clearly in the history of Haman. And I think I see the Lord even though his name is not mentioned in the book of Esther. In the miracles of Pharaoh, we see the finger of God. Yes, indeed, we acknowledge that. But in the wonders of providence, without miracle, we see the hand of God in the book of Esther. And in fact, many other books of the Bible. Today, whatever the event may be in every part of the globe, big or small matters, including this pandemic, the attentive eye of faith will as clearly see the Lord's invisible hand in operation. There is no doubt about it. I am sure that God, and I'm sure you as believers, are also certain that God is in the world and is at our right side, on our side, and He is in our heart and manages many affairs and order all things for the good of His people, for the good of each one of His children, and for each one of His blood-bought children. We want no miracles to convince us of God's working. The wonders of His power and of His providence are as greatly marvel as miracles themselves. And then next, we can also draw another lesson to see how safe the church of God is, how safe the people of God is. At one time, the people of God seems to be all together in Haman's power. Nero once said that he wished his enemies had but one neck, that he might destroy them all at a blow. And Haman seems to have realized just such power. Yet, the chosen nation was delivered. The Jewish people live on until the Messiah came and thus exist and will exist till they shall enjoy the bright future which is decreed for them. So it is with the Church of God today. So it is with every Christian believer who are in Christ. The enemies of truth can never put out the candle which God has lit, never crush the living seed which the Lord Jesus has sown in His own blood-bought people. Brethren, be not afraid, but stabilize your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God. Again, we see that the wicked will surely come to a disastrous end. They may be very powerful. Yes, we do not deny that. But God will bring them down eventually, no matter how powerful they may be. They may be very crafty and may plot and plan and may even succeed, so to speak, and may think that even God Himself is on their side because everything else, or rather because everything goes as they desire. As the psalmist in Psalm 79 said, his footstep was nigh tripped because he was confused when he saw the success of those who do wickedly. But be assured, they may be sure their sin will find them out. The wicked, the evil doers, they may be powerful, they may be crafty, and as I said, they may think even God is on their side because everything goes on so well for them and they flourish and they succeeded. You can be sure they may dig deep as hell, but God will undermine them and they may climb as high as the stars, but God will be above them to hurl them down altogether. And finally, I just want to make an appeal to the unbelievers, to those who refuse Christ and reject His grace. I appeal to you to turn from your career of opposition to the Most High God. Dear friends, you cannot stand against the Lord Jesus Christ. I plead with you, I beseech you, cease, stop from this idle opposition and hear the voice of the gospel which says, confess your sin and forsake it. Believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the great atoning sacrifice and even you shall yet be saved if you do not do so. Dear friends, upon your own head shall your sin fall. Last of all, let each one who are in Christ, a child of God, let each child of God rejoice that we have a guardian so near the throne. Every Jew in Shushan must have felt hope when he remembered that the queen was a Jewish. Today, let us be glad that the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted. He is at the Father's right hand as our intercessor in his soon return, he is our King. How safe are all of God's people? For if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. There is one that lies in the bosom of God who plead for all those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, be not dismayed, brethren, but let your soul rest in God and pray for help to wait patiently for Him. For sooner shall heaven and earth pass away than those who trust the Lord shall perish. They shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Gracious, mighty God, eternal, loving, heavenly Father, we praise and thank Thee indeed that Thou hast already given us the victory through the finished work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, where is Thy sting, O death? Where is Thy grave? O Lord, we praise and thank Thee that Thou hast delivered us, those who are truly in Christ, bought by Thy blood. We praise and thank Thee for such a Savior, such a God that we have as our Heavenly Father. And we pray that, Lord, as we pilgrim, as we journey on, as pilgrim in this world, and in this new week, as You have so graciously granted us and lenders us breath and life, O Father, we pray that Your Holy Spirit will enable us to live our lives in this new week, each day of this new week, that brings glory and honor and praise to Your holy name, that Thy Spirit will grant us help, wisdom, and the power to overcome, that we may indeed live victoriously as conquerors. So, Father, may You continue to encourage and strengthen each one of us, Your children, and help us, O Lord, we pray, that Thou will increase our faith, that we will not walk by sight, but by faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we pray that Thou will rest upon Thy children Your peace that passes all understanding and the joy of the Lord in our hearts. Hear this, our prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.